Well, listening to that was the Minister of Health, David Clark, who joins us now. Morena.
Morena, Corin.
Let's start first with the issue of capital charges, the interest charged on the loans, essentially for what hospitals to build new wings and those sorts of things. You've said yourself in the past that the capital charge had not worked well. So is it going to go?
It's something ministers have been considering, and I do actually expect to make announcements about that in coming weeks. What I would say about the capital charge is that it does seem to be a perverse incentive when there are big new builds to do. So the Treasury a couple of years ago said that it, quote along these lines, may have caused unintended consequences, end quote, which is very strong words for the Treasury, if you've had anything to do with them. In terms of the Dunedin Hospital rebuild, they give as an example that DHBs have put off investing in big infrastructure because they then subsequently get a big whack of capital charge. For day-to-day management of capital assets, it makes more sense, but for those big new builds, it really has caused problems, in my view, for DHBs.
So we can read between the lines here that there's going to be at least some changes to the capital charge system, if not going for big projects?
Well, as I say, I'm not quite ready to make announcements, but there will be some changes, Corin.
There is an argument, though, isn't there, and you sort of alluded to it, that the capital charge, it demands discipline of the DHBs. It requires
That
they use the money effectively and don't just sort of whittle it away.
For the day-to-day running and for, you know, decisions longer term about smaller asset investments, where they're doing that off balance sheets, it makes a certain amount of sense. So it makes good theoretical sense. That's why the Treasury pushed for it originally. But as I said, I think the Treasury are now questioning whether it really works well in the health sector as it was intended. And that's why they raised that issue when I was still in opposition and why this government's been determined to have a closer look at it.
The overall picture of the sort of building stock, if you like, of our hospitals isn't great, is it? I mean, how quickly can you start to deal with some of these problems? We know Dunedin Hospital was getting dealt with, but there are clearly some crisis areas around the country.
Yeah, it will take time, and I think everybody accepts that it's taken a long time to run our buildings down. I guess what we've done clearly and upfront as a government is put in some significant capital. So in our first budget, we put in $750 million. In our next ones, we put $1.7 billion in this year, spread over the next 2 years. So in the space of two budgets, we've laid aside more than twice as much as the previous government did in 9 years. Now, that is ambitious because you've also got to build the workforces that are going to build these hospitals over time. But it sends a clear signal to industry that this government is absolutely serious about rebuilding the public health system.
Okay. Now, in terms of the management, you would have heard Ian Powell talking about that. We've got a combined deficit of over $250 million. Are you concerned that the DHBs simply aren't managing their books across the board here?
Well, I've been really clear with the DHB chairs who are answerable to me that this is an area of real focus for the government. It is true that they've been had stressed balance sheets, and you can see a pattern of deficits increasing since about 2013 across the DHB. So this is not a new thing. But financial discipline is really important, particularly when the government is investing more money. And so I sent them a letter in December being really clear about my expectations and saying we would act if we weren't happy with financial performance. And
so
you have seen us already step in counties Manukau. I put in a Crown Monitor. In the Waikato, I put in a Crown Monitor and then subsequently have appointed a Commissioner. And in Canterbury recently, I've appointed a Crown Monitor. Now, a monitor is there to give the government a clear picture and make sure that clinical services continue to be delivered, but that the finances are also under control and on target to return to a sustainable position. So I'm watching it very closely and prepared to intervene.
Well, it starts to sound a bit like a system-wide problem. If you've got all these monitors in all over the place, it doesn't sound like an isolated incident. So is there a systemic problem here? And we heard Ian Powell talking about this. People are sicker. There's an ageing population. You just simply aren't funding the system to deal with this.
Well, there is an older population with more complex needs. And so we do put more money in each year. We put in $2.8 billion in this year's budget, which is a record amount. And you can see as a percentage increase, it's a step up from last year and certainly a step up from what the previous government was doing. You can't fix the system overnight. staff have been stretched and strained for a very long time, and we need to build up the workforces. You can't train a senior nurse overnight. You can't train a surgeon overnight either. People accept it's going to take a while to rebuild
you could
those
do...
workforces, but we're going to get on with it.
You could merge the DHBs. You've talked about this. You could get on and merge some of them and find some efficiencies, couldn't you?
I think DHBs are doing that to some extent organically, so they are sharing more services in the back room. They are starting to share best practice more. There is a health and disability sector review in the field right now, being led by Heather Simpson and with a team of experts who are consulting widely. They report back to me first in August this year and then with a final report in March next year. And their job is to look at the system, see how we can deliver more equitable outcomes so that everyone's got good access to healthcare, but also how that system will be sustainable into the future. And that review is really one of the key reasons I put my hand up for the health minister role. It is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to look at how we set up our system.
And you won't muck around, you'll act on that reasonably quickly because, you know, we're a couple of years into your term now.
That review reports back in March next year. Obviously, there's a budget that will follow that. I think it will also, though, suggest that review, if it does its job, some significant changes that will need to be carefully considered. It will also land, I guess, in an election year, which will give different parties a chance to form their own view based on expert evidence about where to with our health system. I think everybody accepts, no matter what their political stripe, that we do need some change in our health system to make it sustainable in the longer term.
Health Minister David Clark, thank you for your time.